taking the back route out of town. Or the front route, I guess. Going back the way I came, more or less. Instead of the home route, which is a little bit tighter, I guess. I don't know. Airport stream tomorrow. Probably, actually. Yes, probably. It'll be early. Too early. Way too early. This NVIDIA thing is just two turds talking. Where's my announcements? Yeah, I don't know. NVIDIA sent out invites trying to, like, you need to come see the future of gaming. And I was just like, my only assumption at that point was like, oh, you're making a VR headset just like everyone else. Cool. But I guess I don't really know what they'll have to say. I don't want to turn. That means I need to be here and drive this way. Get here and be here. What is happening here? And why am I not able to go? Okay, because there are a bunch of people crossing the street. But I'm going to get out here so that I can still make this left. All right. Weird. I hate going this way. Make a 20-hour game that is fully designed to be played in VR. And let's see how it does. That's what I want to see. That's the test, right? How will VR enhance storytelling in games? How, you know, like what? Like, obviously, it's immersive, it's 3D, it's very cool. But what will that mean for, like, proper commercial products? Like, what, you know? What is the content? Is it doomed to be an endless series of 5-minute cool demos? Like, maybe that's enough, because some of that stuff's fucking amazing. But I don't know. You know, it's, I think it's pretty widely known now that Oculus has a publishing team in place of, you know, people that are designed to bring games to the platform. Like, they think about it as a platform. Like, hey, get out there and make your game work really well on the Oculus, and we'll, you know, market it or whatever. And they kind of started building that. And so the thing that I think that Sony will run into... Well, I mean, you know, Sony will get the runoff of the great VR experiences that appear on other platforms. Just like they're getting a ton of indie games that are, you know, that have already appeared on the PC or, you know, appearing simultaneously or something like that. Like, they'll benefit from the work being done for the other headsets. And that's probably smart. Because, like... If you think about it in a more traditional sense, like, you know, would you take your A-list Sony teams and put them onto VR games? Like, no. Not unless, you know, you sell millions of headsets to a point where, like, those games can return on their investment. Like, the idea of, like, you know, hey, we're going to take the Naughty Dog A-team and drop them onto, like, a VR-only game. Like, no. You know, so you end up like, okay, well, let's make a game that supports VR but doesn't require it, and then you've already fucked up. Or you know, or you're doing a ton of custom work. I don't know. I guess there's a way around it, but, like, when you think about the games that have been adapted to support VR and they're more traditional games, like, that's not cool. It's not that much fun. Like, it's a novelty that you can play Quake in VR, but it's not a better game that way. You know, right now, Sony's still in a mode where they want to sell as many consoles as possible. The thought of, like, making that a higher barrier, like, hey, now the must-have game for PS4 also requires you to spend, you know, X number of dollars on this fucking sweet headset. It's a distraction to their main goal at that point. So by its nature, like, you know, you kind of think that... You know, VR exclusive that buy those headsets could be really starved for content for a good chunk of time. So, you know, they might be willing to buy just about anything that comes out. So, you know, you could have some indie games that do really well selling to that subset of the PS4 audience. But, whatever, that's... It's too early to know. You know, Sony loves to break down its worldwide numbers. And, you know, hey, rightfully they should, because they sell in every territory. They do pretty well in every territory. Listening to Mark and John on the podcast this week, like, you know, it doesn't sound like they're doing terrifically in Japan, but, hey, they're leaps and bounds ahead of Microsoft. But when you break those numbers down to U.S. numbers, like, the console race is actually pretty close. You know, like, a few hundred thousand units separate them. Or something like that. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's not. you know, the PS4 does not have some commanding lead domestically. That's why, like, Valve is in a much more interesting position with VR than Sony is. You know, Sony has to care about the hardware fight. They have to care about, you know, how they're doing versus, you know, stiff competition from another console and market share, you know, like all that sort of stuff. Valve just does their thing. They have the money to just say, fuck it, whatever. And they can do risky stuff. Oh, whatever. I'm sure when Sony started R&D on a VR headset, it seemed like a very risky proposition that might not pay off. Like, I know when, you know, talking to people last year about Morpheus stuff, they're like, yeah, you know, this might not ever come out, but, you know, we felt that we had to get back to, like, the Sony of old of, like, we're just going to make some weird shit and hopefully something cool will come out of it, because we haven't been able to be that Sony in a while. We haven't had the money to do it, you know? So it's not to say that there's, like, no risk involved in what Sony's doing, or you know, that there's no vision or anything like that. But when you look at the way the market is going to probably shape up around VR, like, they're in a fairly safe position. Especially early on, like, it doesn't seem like any of the headsets will be, like, out-of-the-gate must-haves, like, you know, sort of thing where people are, like, clamoring for it and freaking out and, like, you know, selling out and all the stuff. Like, it seems like VR is a slow build as, you know, word of mouth travels and people try it for themselves and understand what it can do and all that sort of stuff. And so, like, those sorts of situations favor an open platform, like the PC. You know, it favors Valve, it favors Oculus, and Sony is there to kind of go for the ride and benefit, and that's smart for them to be in that position. You know, the hardware got there from the sounds of it. Like, it's, everyone got their hardware basically where they, you know, where they're hoping to get it, or just about, and getting stuff in a shippable state, and going, like, okay, like, you know, fuck Crystal Cove, we got what's next, it's gonna be fucking dope, like, here you go, and we're just about ready to start selling this shit for real, and, you know, Valve's ready, like, all this stuff. It'll be fucking cool as shit to watch it all roll out, but fuck, man, I have no idea how any of it'll really do long term. Like, what are the grand experiences that, you know, that get created for that hardware? Or what are the, or, you know, fuck grand, you know, like, I don't know, like, what are the ideal things created for VR headsets? What's the ideal, like, play session, like, length of time? Like, there's so much testing that they need to do to figure out, like, what people's limits are and all that sort of stuff, and then, you know, they have to kind of build the games around those concepts of, like, okay, well, you know, on average, people can wear this shit for 2 hours, so consider that when you're making your game, you know? Like, okay, well, we're making an episodic adventure game that, you know, is 2 hour episodes then, or, you know, or something like that, you know, just build for people's tolerances for that stuff. And if it turns out that, you know, like, hey, you know, the hardware got so good that motherfuckers can wear this thing for 20 hours and it's all good. Well, or, you know, or 8 hours a day straight and it'll be fine. They're not going to get woozy. They're not going to go crazy. You know, like by and large, the general public will be able to handle this thing for a long stretch the same way they'll be able to handle any kind of PC or console game now, then fucking great, you know? Like, hopefully that's the case. Like, I don't know. I want to see something big and revelatory, like, on the software end. And, you know, there have been games, you know, the Lucky's, the platformer. Like, that's out there. You know, there's stuff. But not at, like, not on a grand scale. And I wonder if that's even going to be possible, feasible. Or if it'll just end up being like, here's the thing you can do for 90 minutes, and then, no, really, you need to take it off. You know, can we make a new Second Life? Can PlayStation Home VR exist? Like a social type space that is meant to be hung out in for long periods of time, and you know, something built to really take advantage of that stuff, not adapting an existing thing to, like, well, you know, when you move your head, it's like the mouse. Like, it needs to be more than that. I like the idea of, like, the people that had set up the thing that was, like, the multi-directional treadmill, you know, where you'd wear a headset and then run on a platform, run in place on a platform, I mean, obviously, that's too big and too crazy to expect most people to have in their home. If anything, it's a case for setting up, you know, the old, like, location-based entertainment center type concept. A Dave & Buster's, you know, like a Battletech Center type thing. With, you know, 10 of these rigs running some kind of deathmatch game. Maybe one where there are pterodactyls involved? Where's that? Where, like, someone needs to fucking dig up the fucking Dactyl Panic or Dactyl Nightmare or whatever it was. Like, that old VR, like, the virtuality game. Someone needs to port that to fucking modern machines. And just make that fucking game. But, like, make good on it. Make good on the promise of this weird-ass fucking flat-shaded thing. God, that would be insane. And VR is great because it solves a lot of problems, or it can solve a lot of problems that, like, PC players solve in really crazy ways nowadays. You know, the whole, like, three-monitor setup and roll cage thing for a racing game, like, you know, simulating parts of that experience in a more effective way with VR rather than, well, I built an airplane cockpit in my garage, you know? But, you know, like, VR forces the creation of a new language in the sense of, like, in the same way that, like, the shift to polygonal gaming required the creation of new systems and concepts and, you know, like, camera control, like, what, you know, how do you handle jumping? It's like, how can you judge distance when you're jumping, you know, like, the stuff that Mario 64 had to figure out, the stuff that Ocarina of Time had to figure out, and try to bring these genres forward to, you know, this evolved form. And, you know, like, first person sort of bridges the gap there. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of first person games out there. That start to build that, but I don't know, you would think that the best VR games, the best VR experiences are going to be games that don't necessarily adhere to the conventions of first-person shooters and other first-person games as we know them now. Because, again, if it's just Quake but you can turn your head, like, that's...
it's not much fun.
Start to create something of an uncanny valley in the rest of the experience of, like, you know, I want to see what these controllers are that they're talking about for the Valve stuff, if they're just like, you know, Wii remotes or whatever, that, what was the Razer, no, what the fuck were they called? It was the PC thing that was kind of the equivalent of a Wii remote or a PlayStation Move controller, but it was based around magnets, and there was that special version of Portal 2, or maybe it was just Portal 1. Like, is it just those? You know, not to bring it back to just fucking shooters, because obviously the concept is much wider than that, but, you know, you start to think about it, like, imagine a shooter where you had to hold the fucking gun up to your goddamn eyes and aim it like a real weapon, or hip-fire it, you know, or you know, like, and deal with the real consequences of choosing to aim one way or the other. Like, maybe you're a bad aim when you hold it up there, because maybe you're just bad at that. But either way, you know, that significantly changes just the concepts and the dynamics of any kind of vaguely realistic shooter where you'd have any kind of iron sight or aim down the sight type stuff. You know, mimicking those sorts of concepts and there you go. That's, you know, shooting things is like, you know, is video games' version of porn. Where it's as soon as they can figure out brand new ways for people to shoot other people in a video game, everything else will follow. you know, like a game where, you know, the you raising the gun up to aim it is governed by your actual ability to move your arms up as fast as possible and sight something in and shoot it, you know? As opposed to just like, well, this gun has this aim down sight speed, and there you have it. But I guess that removes, you know, kind of the strategy of, or one of the balancing points of guns in a video game is just that, you know, the, you know, the trade-offs between things like aiming down the sights and all that sort of stuff. So if, you know, everything was just governed by you, then the right answer is to have you hold something that is a different weight according to the weapon you're using in-game. So that it is harder and more unwieldy to lift a larger, you know, a larger weapon up to aim it, you know, or whatever. But as far as I can tell, there's, I don't think it's physically possible to change the weight of something as you're holding it. Think about, you know, the recoil and stuff like that. Like, you know, if you went all the way with something like this, move the weight further out so it feels heavier. There are things you can do. That's true. The thing that some developers wanted when they first saw the Kinect. They were like, hey, this is great, but give us something that resembles, give us an object to base it all around so we have a thing to track and you know, all that sort of thing. Give us a stick, a gun, some kind of object like that so that, you know, the movement can feel more familiar and understandable and that sort of stuff. And Microsoft was like, nope, fuck that. No, you are the gun. Your mind is the gun. You got to think if, you know, I don't know. I think if the Kinect would probably work better if it had an object to key off of all the time and some concepts would be easier for people to wrap their mind around and deal with if they had something like that. But I bet being like an actual pioneer on the software side of VR and trying to make something that is truly new and takes advantage of all that stuff, like, must be really exciting and also like scary as shit and pretty hard. I bet it's really hard. it would be a really cool thing that the general public will just reject wholesale. So the software development world will never form up beyond a bunch of really, really cool demos and some bolted-on functionality. Or, you know, like, whatever. It's kind of the nice thing about, you know, the companies behind this stuff being Facebook and fucking Valve is they don't need things to, like, immediately launch and be huge in the first quarter of its release. Now, especially coming to, like, Valve. They don't give a fuck. They'll put it out and fucking eat shit on it for 3 years, and then eventually enough of them will be out there and spread the word of mouth to have it start taking off or, you know, something. I don't know if Facebook would be that kind, but perhaps the radio will have some answers about all this. Maybe Dame Dash has figured it all out.
I don't think that's the plan I'm thinking. means for Atlanta. So I mean with the grammar till I got green. Like no way, but I'm a fun race. Also.
He says, I wish that I could be like the cool kids. Around in the car that I bought you. Finally got me wrong. Oh, Captain, I haven't seen that yet. Oh, so laid out.
XM's Classic Rewind.
Thank you. We play them. That's what we play. Classics here on Classic Rewind, 70s, 80s, a little bit of 90s. I'm Alan Hunter. Hope your Tuesday night is going well. I'm a little under the weather, but good.
Oh, poor Alan.
In fact, rock and roll makes me feel a lot better. And I will tell you, one of my favorite songs had something to do with me being a huge Yes fan, huge fan of theirs back in the 70s. In fact, that was one of the earlier concerts I went to as a young man. And what a show. Holy cow. But I wondered how they would fare in the 80s, in the MTV world, the land of videos. You know, they were big and prog rocky, but could they contain it in 3.5 minutes? Well, that they certainly did on the album 90125 with the help of the producer Trevor Horn, who gave us The Buggles, the first video on MTV, and lately gave us Billy Idol's new album, Kings and Queens of the Underground. So he did magic with them, as did a young guitarist named Trevor Rabin, on their biggest hit after this from Tom Cochran.
I don't want to listen to that song ever. Don't want to listen to that either.
That bitch ass full of bullet holes. Bullet holes. Still hate cover brand.
Hit me on my Twitter, my Instagram right now.
I'm a smurder ass.
That DJ.
No.
Me and my nigga trying to eat you pussies empanada. The flow like plenty lava. We're just a penny. I can
say empanadas?
This is my foot. I'ma tell you what Santa really put under my so-called tree, but in reality, look like nothing but a decorated phone to me. Man, you talk about a tree, it makes me wonder, cause I never had a tree to put anything under. If I ever did look up to get a tree, there was never anything under it for me.
Man, y'all should be glad that I didn't quit, cause I'm getting too old for this Santa Claus shit. Y'all think I'm getting presents made for free? I gotta pay them bills, and ain't nobody paying me.
You big fat whale, you might as well quit, cause I can name 100 presents that I didn't get. And if I did get a present, it'd be a heavy down. Yo, I got this for Christmas, now how that sound?
It sounds good to me, cause I'm about to freeze. You wanna see something? Look at the bottom of these. Me and my brothers can't go out at the same time, cause the coke that's theirs is the coke that's mine.
Man, I know one thing, y'all better get off my neck and wait till you get your welfare check. Go on down to the office and stand on the line. Better hurry up, see, I got mine.
Jingle, jangle, jingle for the vote. And once he gets your welfare check,
y'all kiss my mistletoe.
What? All right. Yeah, okay. I'm going to take off. You guys have a good night. And, yeah, I mean, you know, barring any kind of weird changes, I'll probably be on about 4 hours early tomorrow because I got to go to the airport. Fuck. 3 hours early. Two, maybe two. Anyway. Some point in the morning, I don't know. Everybody have a good night. I gotta wake up early and leave early and drive early and hopefully not get caught in a snowstorm and make it to Boston intact. That's the hope. All right, see ya.